God, this is what Pete started with, isn't it, Pete? And through the year, through your own life, let alone anything else. But God is faithful and true all the time. In every moment of every day, of every week, of every single year, God is faithful and true, and he can be no other. It's wonderful. What confidence are you finding there? God is faithful. And in this year that we've had, God has been faithful. It's the most obvious thing to say. God, being who he is, has been faithful to us. You know, I was reminded just looking back and realizing a year ago, we were thinking about different things and looking to the Lord and thinking about, Lord, it would be really helpful to have a new building for different reasons. It would be really helpful, Lord. We want to be able to reach out and be engaged in the community. And could you just give us things, open doors to be able to move out in this way? And there's all sorts of different things. And as I look back now, I look and I think, oh, God has changed things in this year. Things that we were looking to him for. He is faithful and true. And he has been doing the things that he has put on our hearts, things that he has said he will do, and he's been doing it. And he's been working, and he's been building. He's been building. I love the fact that God is building, he's active, and he's including us in his purposes. And if I ask you, you might have to help me out this morning. Every once in a while I might ask a question. It's a really specific question, and it goes like this. What is God doing on the earth? And you could have all sorts of answers to that question, so I'll give you the right answer. What is God doing on the earth? The response is this. God is building his church. That's it. Everything else comes within that. You know, I've said this before, but listen to this. We've got to get this perspective. The history of the world is the history of the church of Jesus Christ, the people of Jesus Christ. From the beginning and going forward, the history of the world is the history of the church. The church. What is God doing on the earth? He is building his church. You can say that. Will you? Come on. He is building his church. We're not great at this, are we? But we could get into this. He is building his church. That's the answer. I want us to say it. Speak it to yourself. What is God doing on the earth? He is building his church. This isn't brainwashing. This is true. God, he is actively, purposefully building his church. It's what he's doing. If there's any ambiguity in your mind, if there's any haziness or wondering, what is God doing? What is he about? Where is he active? God, he's building his church. Get that as a foundation of thinking. God, he's building his church. The implications of this are enormous, so that's why we're starting here. God is building his church. And I'm continue to be excited about it. This is something which is very close to my own heart. I think it's something that is close to all of our hearts. And this morning, what I want to begin to do is to really, I realized when I was looking at this morning, what I'm going to aim for, try and achieve, is an introduction. So this morning, that's all we're aiming at. We're going for an introduction. And the introduction is to a whole series of talks, and it's all about the church, the church, the church. And we're just going to be really focusing in and looking at the church of Jesus Christ in all sorts of different ways. So we're going to give an introduction It's a wonderful subject, and hopefully what we will gain through an introduction is a perspective. Perspective is necessary and it's helpful to gain a perspective to then be able to look at a whole raft of things to do with the church, key building blocks, important things to do with the church. So we're aiming at an introduction for a perspective to be able to then go on and look at a whole bunch of stuff. You up for this? What is God doing on the earth? Thank you. He is building his church. It's precious. It's precious to him. He is building his church. It's wonderful. Here's a statement. Some of this is going to kind of get qualified as we go along. So give me a bit of slack. We are engaged with the purposes of God as much as we are engaged with his church. We are engaged with the purposes of God as much as we are engaged with his church. Now that is a broad statement, so don't try and hone that in too much. That's a broad statement, but it's true. God is building his church. The purposes of God are outworked through his church. God is building his church, and we are engaged with his purposes as we are engaged in this way with his church. And, you know, sometimes you hear people say things about the church, and I've heard things a bit like this. People will say, Christian people, and I can understand this sometimes, so I'm not knocking this. People will say things like, I love Jesus, but I'm not too sure about his wife. And I love Jesus, I'm kind of with him, but the church, his bride, his wife, I'm not too sure about that. Because like this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened, and it's just like, oh, I'm struggling a bit with the church. I love Jesus. And one of the things that can do for people is it can start to put a distance between them and what God is doing on the earth. And it's tragic. And Christian people find themselves there sometimes. And it's like, no, guys, no. The purposes and the activity of God, he is moving forward through his church. So it's like we find ourselves active within the church of Jesus Christ, you know. And again, in this, I think in our day, in our generation, in the great advance and advantages of technology, maybe you could think, oh, it's all right, I've got YouTube, I've got access to amazing resources and preachers and all sorts of things. It's just like, that'll do. It's like, no, it won't do. It won't do. God is doing so much more than YouTube. And God is building his church. And he is doing it in a wonderful way. And incredibly, he has included us. Have a look around. This is one of the things I'm really grateful for this morning. Honestly, I mean this. Have a look around. And do you know what I'm thinking? As I look at every face, every person, it's just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this one. Thank you for this one. Thank you for the church. Thank you for every single living stone that you are building together to be for the praise of your glory. Together for the praise of your glory. Wonderful. This is what he's doing. He's building, and he's building in this way, and I'm so grateful for you. It's not just a nice idea. I actually am. If I could. Every name, every person. It's just like, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your church. Now, what will you do through your church? It's incredible. what he'll do through his church. It will go beyond what you could ask, what you could think. He is bigger. That's another sermon. He is bigger than we are, but he is building his church. He's doing it through us. You know, I had a friend, I haven't seen him for a long time. He's in the States, and he used to have a statement that he'd make, and I think it's really helpful. We think that God is building his church, and then we could say this. How, if you ask the question, how's he doing that? How's he doing it? He's building his church, okay. How's he doing that? Here's a statement. I'll qualify it a little bit. Here's a statement. God's method is men. What I mean by that, that's a big statement. That's like people, mankind, men, women, children, people. God is building his church. God's method is men, people. That's how he's doing it. That's how he's doing it. It's like, oh, come on. This has got to get a bit exciting, surely. God's activity on the earth, he's building his church. And then you think, hold on a minute. How is he doing that? He's doing it through you and me. His method. I mean, you can't fathom it, really. Would you have come up with this as a plan? God's method. God's approach. God's activity. How is he doing it? You and me. God is building his church, and his method is mankind. It's people. It's you and me. Ordinary things. And he's building something magnificent and beautiful. Only God could do this. But it's wonderful. We're going to read from Ephesians and chapter 3. God's building his church. He is using you and me. God's plans are intrinsically linked to his people. Think about these things, will you? God's plans, they are intrinsically, inseparably linked to his people. It cannot be any other way. It's just like, oh, really? I'm into that. If God Almighty, magnificent God, is actively doing something on the earth, and he's doing it through you and me. It's like, Lord, yes, yes. Where would you fit me into that? Wonderful. He's building his church, and he is doing it deliberately and on purpose, intrinsically attached, involved with his people. His people. This is good stuff. We're going to see some of the implications of this, but we've got to get this bit. He's building his church, and he's doing it through you, and he's doing it through me, and he's doing it in all kinds of magnificent ways for your good and his glory. He's united those things together. Your good, his glory. Wonderful. He's building his church. Come on, let's read Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to just jump into this chapter in verse 8, and we're going to read down to the end. So we know this is the Apostle Paul, and he says this: to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. This is a key point. We're coming back to this one. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, goes beyond understanding, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Man, are you getting this? This is enormous. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How is he going to do this? According to the power that works in us. To him to him be the glory in the church and by Christ Jesus for all generations forever. Amen. Amen. To him be the glory in the church. Wonderful, wonderful. This is full and rich and overflowing, what we've just read. It is incredible. It is full. And God has purposed to outwork the riches of himself through his church. According to the power that works in us, his power, his spirit, his life, his vitality through his people for our good and his glory. Man, wonderful. You are not just saved for your personal salvation, but so that you might be knitted together with others, and that corporately, together, we might show something far more exceeding abundantly, and be together something which is to the praise of his glory. That first chapter of Ephesians, it says it again and again and again, unto the praise of his glory. Wonderful, wonderful. Here's the thing. I'm not looking for anything else, are you? I'm not looking for anything else, but that we together might be increasingly to the praise of his glory. Oh, Jesus, yes, please. Yes, please. I don't care about anything else. I don't. But that we, knitted together and joined in holy union, might be somehow miraculously to the praise of Jesus Christ on the earth. And he will lift himself up that all men may see how, through his church, through you and through me, joined together. Wonderful. What is God doing on the earth? He is building his church. Get hold of this. You want purpose in your life? Get hold of this, because it's found in the purposes of God. And he is building his church. Wonderful, wonderful God. You know, before God ever started the church here, and he was just beginning to exercise and provoke thoughts along this line. And one day, I was just before the Lord, and I was just crying. Just crying before the Lord, and I'll tell you why. I've seen churches all my life. All my life. And I was just before the Lord, and I knew the Lord was just beginning to stir the beginning thoughts of starting something fresh. And I said to the Lord, in all honesty, I said to God, Lord, please, could we not do this unless we somehow are enabled by your grace to rightly represent you? That's what we want to do. We want to rightly represent Jesus Christ in our generation. And if we are not doing that, then let's scrap it. Let's scrap it all. We must rightly represent Jesus Christ, or else we've got nothing and we're going nowhere. This is true. Get hold of this. There's nothing else but Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And that's what we're about. This is the church of Jesus Christ. She is holy. She is beautiful. She is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. She is of eternal value and significance. This is the church. Oh God, that we as a collective company of people might in our generation rightly represent Jesus Christ. We're not aiming at anything else. If you want to know what the vision of the church is in this place, this is it. This is it. There is no other plan. There is no alternative. It's this or nothing. We will, by God's grace, rightly represent Jesus Christ in our generation. Oh, to be a company of people that are excited about this. Wonderful. God, by his grace, by his spirit, he is building his church. Man, wonderful. 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 He's doing it. He's doing it through you and me. And we're so grateful. The church is the church in as much as it rightly represents Jesus. Did you know that? Thank you, Jeff. Jeff knows that. The church is the church. That is to say, she is true to herself in as much as she rightly represents Jesus. Wonderful. That's why she's so beautiful. That's why. That's why. Wonderful Saviour. The church is not in a local setting. The church is not to represent itself or to gather people to itself. That's a tragic thing when that happens. That is not the church. The church is not to represent itself. It's not to gather people to itself, its biases, its tendencies, its preferences, its cause. It doesn't represent itself. It is to be truly representative of Jesus Christ. If I can put it like this, it is to be the embodiment of Jesus Christ on the earth as he works out his purposes through his people. This is magnificent. There is nothing greater. There is nothing more significant. There is nothing more world-changing than the life of God active through his church, through his people. Nothing. Nothing. Wonderful. The church is there as representative of another. God would make himself known. God would make himself known through his church. What a calling. What a calling. Who's the church? You and me. You and me. How is God primarily making himself known? And this is a broad statement. It embraces all sorts of things. But essentially, God is making himself known through his church. Through his church. You and me. Wow. That's going to take God, isn't it? Wonderful. Wonderful. We know there's no perfect churches, don't we? Certainly not when I join it. So there are no perfect churches. But nevertheless, there is the church of Jesus Christ, which is representative of him. And that is wonderful. Wonderful, and we're about that. The church is not man-made. We know that, don't we? The church is not man-made. The church, whether it's the church global or any local church, it's not man-made. It's God-conceived. It is, isn't it? It's God-conceived. We're using these words on purpose. God conceived. A local church is conceived by God, birthed from God, and sustained through God. Without him, this is the point, without him, we've got nothing. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. That is a richness. Without him, we've got nothing. The local church is born out of the activity and initiative of God. Nothing less than that. Even the local expression, the local church, it is born, it is birthed out of the activity and initiative of God. Wow, that is a high calling. It's supposed to be. It is born out of the activity and initiative of God. It's not someone's good idea. You know, someone might have a good idea and they might think, what we need to do, there's an area in the country, we need to plant a church there. And you could have an idea like that, and I might get in trouble for this, but hold on a minute. You can have an idea like that and think, I need to go there. Look on the map, can't see, there's too much going on there. I'll go there and plant a church. It seems like a good idea. And you could have the backing of millions of pounds, literally. This happens. You could have the backing of millions of pounds. You could have extremely creative people, all kinds of humanitarian initiatives. You could. And you could build something of seeming real significance in a locality. You can do that. People do that. And do you know what you've got at the end of it all? An organization. And it might be a really effective organization, but be sure of this. Unless that local church has begun, has been birthed through the activity, the initiative of God. It's nothing more than an organization. Can you get this? This is important. God in a locality. He is the one who births a local expression of himself. He is. Oh, this is good. This is rich. God is the one who actively initiates and starts and births a church in a locality. Money and organization and gifting is wonderful, but it's not enough. It's not enough if it did not begin in the heart of God, in the specific of a locality. It is not a church. A church is birthed out of God. And he does it through people. Wow. When God decides to birth a local church, there are certain things, certain characteristics from its inception which are in the heart of God. We're getting specific on purpose. They are in the heart of God for that local gathering. In the heart of God, before it's even come to fruition, there are things there in the heart of God for that local expression. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It's God. And he births things in this way. There are things there. Those characteristics are facets of himself which he wants to display through his church. God does this. There are things in a local church. No local church has got it all, have you noticed? But God, through a local church, will display something of himself. And it's wonderful. And it's what he is wanting to do according to his design and purpose in that locality. These things are there right from the beginning, right from the inception. They are there and they are precious things. They have come from God. They are precious things. Well, if we could think about it like this for a minute. When a child is born, right now going on there in that tummy, the potential, it's all there now. Not even born yet. It's all there. And any child, when it's born, is born with certain characteristics, certain personality, certain things that make it who it is. And we're all different, and that's rich, and it's wonderful. But it's all there right from the beginning. And then you don't see it all immediately, but in time, as it grows and it matures, you begin to see characteristics. You begin to see things which are particular about that individual. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. It's a richness to humanity. People are born. I know things develop, but people are born with personality. They're born with gifting. They're born with inclination. Before they're even born, it's there. God did that. God did that. In every single human being, God did that. He said, this one is going to be a bit like this. It's going to be a bit like this. I'm going to do it like this. It's going to have these inclinations. And he formed something. And that life, again, when it's healthy and whole, it shows something. It can show something of God. Of God. And he's done it on purpose. He's done it on purpose in a person, in a baby. And you see it more as it grows and it matures. And it can take some time, but it's there from the beginning. And that life and all of its calling and function was in the heart of God before it was even born. So it is with the local church. It really is. It really is. Which makes those things of great significance and importance. Because for that local church to be consistent with who God has made it, must own those things and work out its life in the way that God intended. It's not random. That was a great revelation to me some years ago, driving along. God spoke to me really clearly. It was amazing. And he just said to me, Matt, life is not random. That's a liberator. That's a liberator. Life is not random. And neither is the local church. It looks at it a bit sometimes. But it's not random. It was in the heart of God before it was even born. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. God has a function and a characteristic for every local church. Is that too big? No. God has a function and a characteristic for every local church. And that through these things, God might display something of himself. Something of himself. And you know what? All over the world today, there are thousands of local churches. And we can all be a bit different. And that's okay. Do you know what that adds to the richness of the testimony of Jesus Christ in our generation? It does, and it should do when it's functioning right. It is a thing of richness and joy and wonder. We're all a bit different. We're all a bit different. He did it on purpose, and he's displaying something of himself. And it's wonderful to be a part of it. And here it is, that we, in a locality, in this locality, that we might rightly represent him. If we are going to do that, these things are relevant to us. If we're going to achieve that, these things are relevant to us. There are things which God has birthed in us as a local church before any of us turned up. It's true. It was there in the heart of God. And then he brings one, and he brings another, and he brings another, and he keeps bringing people, and he keeps bringing people. And he's fitting them together. And he's fitting them together. And it's not random. It's so that those things that he birthed in that local church begins to come to expression and fruition. And he will increasingly be displaying something of the wonder of himself in a city. Do you know the greatest gift to any city in this world is the church of Jesus Christ. It is. God is building his church. You know, and we see this principle all over the place, and a really clear image of this. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's lunch, isn't it? We're having lunch, so we're all right. You know, Moses, it's good to just make this point, it's an obvious one, but Moses, God wanted Moses to build the tabernacle. Moses was going to build the tabernacle. And God basically said to Moses, when the time comes, he says to him, build it according to the pattern that you, if I can put it like this, that you received from me on the mountain. That which I've given. And God spoke loads of things to Moses. Loads of detail. Incredible detail. And God had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a man. And he said to him, build with people, build. But build in this way. Build in the way that I've told you to build. Build in this way. And so He does. Most of us, we know this, we know the story. Do everything according to the pattern that I show you. All of the plan and the detail was in the heart of God before it was ever built and was revealed to Moses. It was revealed to him. It's like God gave him eyes to see the thing. And he said, here it is. This is the pattern. This is how to do it. Go about it in this way. Build, but do it like this. And do everything according to the pattern that I will show you. And God was not looking for Moses to embellish the plan or add to it in any way. Thankfully, neither was Moses. But Moses, God wasn't looking to Moses in this way. He wasn't saying, here's a plan. It's a good option. See what you reckon. No. God said, build in this way. It was specific. It was deliberate. Build in this way, Moses. No embellishment needed. It is beautiful in itself. No embellishment needed. No addition of man. That's a big one. No addition of man. Oh, God, save us from ourselves. God, save us from man. In that sense. No addition of man. It's not necessary. It's not needed. And God knows what he's doing. Moses was to build according to all that God had showed him. Every local church, it's not supposed to be a clone of any other church. Did you know that? A local church, it's not intended to be a clone, neither are people. That's on purpose. That's God's intentionality. He made everybody different. Together, we can express something more wonderful. If we're all clones, we're going to struggle. We're going to have serious limitations going on there, aren't we? It wasn't the idea. It wasn't the intention. It wasn't the purpose. And every local church is not supposed to be a clone of another. There are certain truths and order which is consistent throughout the whole worldwide body of Christ. But each local church has its particular expression, which God has given that it might display something of himself. Wonderful. This is the church. It's big and it's also local. And we are to be faithful to that which he has given us. The particular God-given calling of a local church is precious and foundational to the way in which God would express himself through that church. I think this is making sense, isn't it? It's foundational. It's important. It's relevant. We, and again, you're forgiven for not picking this up sometimes, but whatever it looks like, we're not making it up as we go along. We're not. It looks a bit like that sometimes, but we're not making it up as we go along. Why? Because God has already done it. He's already spoken. He's already put all the things in their kind of basic form in place. They were in his heart and he's birthed the thing. And it needs to grow and it needs to mature and it needs to become increasingly evident. But it's all there. We just need to grow. We don't need to make it up as we go along. We need to continue to respond to the health and vitality and life of God in his church, for our good and his glory. The church, come on. What is God doing on the earth? Oh, come on, we're getting there, aren't we? He is. Own it. When somebody asks you that question, what's going on? What's God doing? That's it, he's building his church. He's building his church, and he fits each of us into that in all sorts of different ways. And that's broad. But God is building his church. We're going to make a few more comments. This is all, as I said, introduction. And again, deliberately so, so that we get some perspective to be able to then look at a whole load of other things. And it just gives us perspective. People, these are just principles of a local church. We could call it that. People do not join churches. You might think they do, but, and I know what we mean when we say that, but people, in reality, people don't join churches. People think they join churches, but people don't join churches. God adds people to his church. There's a world of difference. And he does that in the big sense of his church. He does that also locally. Get a vision for this. This is purpose, man alive. God adds people to his church. He adds people to his local church. There is some intentionality of God going on. He adds people to his church. God sets people in their place as he chooses for his glory and their good. He does. Every person, I mean, this is God, this. He sets people in his church. He fashions a person in different ways. And he takes that life. I'm going to put Peter there. I'm going to put Margaret there. I'm going to take that life and I'm going to build them in there, in that locality. God is specific. He's specific with your life. And he takes one and he puts them in the place of their setting. This is like a jeweler. A jeweler is making a beautiful ring. It's got all sorts of precious stones. It's not random, is it? That man, that woman, they take the ingredient. It's a bad word, isn't it, for us? He takes the precious stone and he sets it deliberately in amongst the others that together they might show something of great beauty and magnificence. It's deliberate. God places people in the place of his choosing, their setting, his choosing. God adds people to his church. He does. We don't go around shopping for churches. We shouldn't do. People do that, but we shouldn't do. We are too commercial in our approach to the church of Jesus Christ. God adds people to his church and he sets them in the place of his choosing. Don't you want to be set by the hand of God? Man alive, I do. It's like, oh, yes, please. Man, could there be anything more wonderful for your life? But God, he'll take your life and he'll set you there. And he's like, I've set you there. And you, with these other people, you're going to display something that I intended before it was even born. This is wonderful, purposeful on the part of God. The place of a person's setting is consistent. It is consistent with God's plan and purpose for that local gathering. It's consistent with it. They're going to add to it. They're going to bring something of significance and value. And God adds them in, and it's consistent with what he's doing. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit is always, always consistent with himself. He's never at odds with himself. He's never having an argy-bargy with himself. The person of the Holy Spirit is always consistent with himself. The Spirit of God is not building opposing things in the same place. He isn't. Wonderful. He isn't. He isn't. Me and Johnny, right, we spend a lot of our time on a building site. We've just started a new project, and we've got a set of plans. Now, if Johnny came to site with a different set of plans, and we both started building, pretty soon there's going to be some misunderstanding going on. Because he's got a set of plans and he's looking at them and he's thinking, yeah, but this is what we're supposed to do, so I'm going to build like this. And then I've got a set of plans and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, no, but this is what the plan says. This is what we're doing. And somehow there's misunderstanding and there's conflict there. Why? Because we're trying to build according to different plans. And in a local church, God has a plan and a purpose. And part of our obedience to him, part of our submission to him, is to look and to hear and to see what is God doing in this place. If he isn't doing anything, don't get involved. What is God doing? What I'm not wanting to do, any of us, is to bring our own agenda. I've got this set of plans. I've been a builder now for a long time. And I've got a good set of plans. I'll bring these along. Don't bother. Don't bother. God's already got a plan for this local church. He's already got a plan for every local church. He cares that much. He has a plan already. You don't need to bring your own set. That's a liberator. It really is. That'll free you right up. You don't need to bring your own agenda. You don't need to bring your own plan. What we do need to do is look and see and have a hearing heart and a sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit active in the church and say, what is God doing here? In which key ways is he looking to display himself here in this place? What does the plan look like? How is this gathering rightly representing Jesus? I tell you what, you can get on board with that, can't you? You see something and you think, oh, that is just showing something of Jesus. It's like, I'm going to get involved with that. That's great. We're nearly finished. If a person brings their own agenda or plan and seeks to apply that instead of looking to see what God is already doing, they can dull the testimony rather than add to it. That's just a quick warning. But they can. And you know, all we need to do is align ourselves with the purposes of God in a local church, because he's already got a plan. He's already got a purpose. He's already, through his faithfulness, working it out. And it's already beginning to take form and shape and show something of his splendor. Oh, this is good. God is building his church and he's doing it here. And he's doing it through you and me. And you know what? It's just going to get better. It is. It's going to get better. And it's going to get better. And it's going to get better. And it's, do you know what makes it better? Increasingly, our togetherness shows more clearly something of Jesus. Wow. I don't know about you. I'll give my life for that. I have done. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Jesus, may we rightly represent you. You. Wonderful. So, if we are to rightly represent Jesus, if we are to build according to the pattern given, how are we to do this? Whoa, that's a big question. So, what we're going to do, and this won't even scratch the surface, by the way, I'd like you to know that. We're going to now go into, or I am at least, a season of looking at these things and just taking a good focus. It's like, let's look at the church. What does she look like when she's representing Jesus? She's beautiful. She's beautiful. And we're going to look at different things, different aspects. And we're going to take our time to do that. If we are to build according to the pattern given, how do we do this? What would it look like both locally and globally? We're going to preach, or I am, the other guys might get involved. We're going to preach through a series on the church. Church, what is God building? What is God doing? He's building his church. We're going to have a good look. And we're going to go through a whole series of things. The church, love. The church, love. We're already 10 minutes over time. That was the second half of this morning's message. So, the church, love. The church, gospel. The church, prayer. The church, now. The church, worship. The church, word. The church, spirit. The church, mission. The church, corporate. All of these wonderful things. How we approach each of these things builds a picture of the local expression of the church. That's why we're doing it. And I would like to invite us, all of us, I would like to invite us to give our all, to give our all, to build according to the pattern given on the mount. Everything. Give it all. Give it all. Give everything. And let's build. And let's build in the way that God intended. And let's build in the way that God intended for this local church. Because it was there in his heart right from the inception. Wonderful. Amen. Can we stand together? I'm going to pray for us.